Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For that the law could not do, for it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That if we are in the Spirit of God, if we are in Christ, we are free from judgment. There is therefore now no condemnation. Condemnation is judgment. Condemnation is to say, you didn't do it well enough. You didn't do it good enough. You're not acceptable. You're not right. Condemnation. It's a negative judgment. It's not a positive judgment. It's a negative judgment. You are condemned. And there we are not under condemnation, or if we are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He puts the caveat in there. The Spirit brings life, the flesh brings death. The flesh brings condemnation, the Spirit brings restoration, life, freedom, forgiveness, joy, peace. It brings all the good things. And if we're walking according to the Spirit, we are not under condemnation. But if we walk according to the flesh, then the flesh condemns us. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Interesting, it's a law. It's a law. What is a law? Law is something that is established. It doesn't change. It's immutable. It doesn't change. It's not subject from one to the other. It is established, a law. It doesn't move. And there's a law of the Spirit in life, Spirit of life in Christ that has made us free from the law of sin and death. The only way to overcome one law is with another law. In order to overcome, it's like we have the law of gravity. It says that we are held to the ground by weight, by mass, and it holds us everywhere. It's the same everywhere. And the only way to overcome the law of gravity is to use a different law, the law of lift. The law of lift tells us that through certain mechanics, we can overcome the weight of gravity and begin to fly. But you can't just jump in the air and fly. That's not the law. There are specific things that must be done in order to overcome it. But it's still a law. And if you do those things, you can. I can design wings, and I could strap them to myself, and I could jump off the building, and I could fly. I would fly for a while if I designed it right. The landing might be problematic, but I could do it. You know, that when you fall at a certain speed, dependent on the resistance to the air. Yeah, I know, it's science class, isn't it? You fall at a certain speed. If we remove the air, everything falls at the same speed. That's gravity. So we know that we can overcome the speed at which you're falling in gravity based on how much wind drag there is, which is why we have parachutes, so that if somebody falls or chooses to jump out of a plane, that they don't fall to their death. But there are laws, and laws can overcome other laws. So there's the law of sin and death. And it says that what the law could not do, for what the law, the Old Testament law, could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. That the law was weak through the flesh. The law, the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments, could not change our hearts. It could only tell us that we were wrong and tell us that we deserve punishment. It could not change our hearts. It had not the ability to do that. And the law was weak in that it could not change us. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can change us, in that we can become a new creation in Christ. And the old things are passed away. The old things that are of the law are passed away in Christ, because the new law is that if we believe in Christ Jesus, we have life and life eternal. That if we come to him and believe in him, he has given us life. And we, the life that we live now is in Christ. It's not in ourselves. We now have access to the power of God through Christ Jesus, in the character of God through Christ Jesus, that the law is now written in our hearts and that it causes us to change. But if we continue to walk in the flesh, we are rejecting that law of life in the Spirit and choosing again to walk by the flesh and look at the law. You don't have to. Because if you believe in Jesus Christ, the law of life, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ resides in you. You can fly at any time. You are not held to the ground and told that you have no hope, but you can soar in Christ Jesus any time you choose to let go of the flesh. Because it's the flesh that holds us back. It's the flesh that keeps us down. It's the flesh that keeps us condemned. Romans 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those that live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, you cannot enter into the law of life in the Spirit through Christ. You can't. And if we want to walk out life in Christ, then we must come to him and acknowledge him that he is the Son of God, and that he has set us free by his sacrifice, that he died to set us free. If we can't acknowledge that, then we have no part in him. We have no place in him. But if we acknowledge that, then we are in Christ and we have access to the law of the law the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What it says, to be carnally minded is death. The mind, do we put our mind on the things of the flesh? The flesh is the nature of man that is driven by his desires. The man without God, Man without God, that's the carnal nature. It's when we no longer accept that there is a God, that we no longer accept that there is a design, we no longer accept that there is someone that we must answer to, a creator who made us in his image, then we are driven by our desires to do whatever we want. This is the mindset that looks out. This is a mindset that looks out for themselves and what they want. There's a basic understanding of this in our desire to hate, gluttony, contention, rebellion, and other unrestrained desires. When we live like that, when we condemn others, when we are violent and vicious towards others, when we begin to hate because we don't like the way that we're being treated, we are falling into the carnal nature. We all do it. We all have to deal with it. So I'm not saying this to condemn us, but to make us aware and to begin to make us think differently. Because we're living in a time and an age when reality and fiction are so close that it may come to time when we can't distinguish between what is real and what is fake. And we need to know what the truth is. Because we are not of this world. We are of Christ Jesus. And so we need to not live according to the world, but live according to the spirit of life in us that God has given us through his Son. And so we need to be aware that there's these simple things that can give us indications that we're walking a carnal mind. You begin to hate people. That's a big clue. Big clue. You start getting testy and irritable. When you no longer have grace for people, you're slipping out of the mind of the spirit and into the mind of the flesh. When you're desiring things, when you just... To want something's not bad. But when I say desire, I mean I've got to have it. I got to have it. I can't stop myself. I've got to go take it. I know I shouldn't, but I got to have it. It's that unrestrained desire. When we start feeling that unrestrained desire, you know you're slipping into the carnal mind. And there is not life down that path. There are also things, these are basic things that talk about the carnal mind, but there's also more complex things that have to do with the carnal mind, carnal mindset. Like, you know, I have to have that perfect job. I got to have that perfect job, and if I have that perfect job, then everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be great. You know, if I get the perfect spouse, if I get that right spouse, everything's going to be rosy. Everything's going to be fantastic. I heard all the married people laugh. That's a carnal mindset. It's because it's not rooted in the truth of Christ. It says that this thing will satisfy me. If this is just right... But the thing isn't that you need something to make you right. You need to be right in Christ. You need Christ to be right. Not a thing, not a job, not a spouse, not enough money. Well, if I just had enough money, if I just had $1 million, everything would be good. No, that'll only magnify the problem. The problem is in you. And it's in me. It's the carnal mindset. That, you know, in order to stop people from being so violent and doing such evil things, we need to take away those things that they can be violent with. You like the way I worded that? I thought that was pretty clever. But But it says that the if we just take away that, then it solves a problem. That's a carnal mindset. The problem isn't in the thing. The problem's in the heart of man. It's in a mentality that's wrong. And as long as we continue to not deal with that problem, it doesn't matter what you take away from them. You'll just have to take something else away. Because they will find something. Or, you know, what do we need to do to make our conditions better for life? Do we need to have the right leader? We just need the right leaders in place. And then our lives are going to go fantastic. Everything's going to hum along and it's going to be fantastic. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's not the truth of the Spirit. That's a carnal mindset that says if we just change them, then everything will be okay. It's here in our hearts that has to change. If we change in here, then our situation and our circumstances won't matter. Because we will have freedom and life in us. And it goes wherever we go. And no one can take it away. No one. Our circumstances can't take it away. Our family and friends can't take it away. Our enemies can't take it away. The politicians can't take it away. Evil people can't take it away. Lack of funds can't take it away. Because it's in you. It is who you are. And then you know that you have life wherever you go and whatever you do. Because Jesus is in you. Because you stand in. I don't know why I'm having a hard time with this. Maybe I need to just write it out and then I'll remember it. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. I'm going to write this right at the top. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. You should write that down too. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. It means it overcomes. It overcomes. So we have these things, these mindset, these ideas. Thank you, Lord. Your future. Your future will be the best if you learn to follow the leading of the Spirit as you make decisions in life and cast away the idea that you know and you understand how things should go and should be. But trust in the Spirit of God and let Him lead you and guide you in the decisions that you make, whether to go to school, whether to not go to school, whether to get continued education, whether to take this job or that job. If you learn to listen to the Spirit of God and let Him guide you, then you will learn to be victorious wherever you go and whatever you do. It's not about, what do I think? It's about, well, what does God think? I kind of wish I had done it now, but so imagine there's a circle right here, okay? And this is all the knowledge in the world that's knowable. There's unknowable knowledge because we haven't gotten enough understanding to know more. But this is all the knowable knowledge in the world. How much of that knowledge do you have? Draw a line on that circle. Now, look at the part that you didn't lie. The line that is the stuff you don't know. It's bigger. It's always going to be bigger. There is so much in this world that we don't know that we are arrogant if we think that we can figure it all out. And we need to trust in somebody who knows all of this and then all the unknowable stuff as well. And that's the Spirit of God. And if we trust Him, He can lead us right. But usually we get into problem because we say, well, I think. God said, I want you to do this. Well, I think that maybe this would be better. I know, I've been there. I've done it. I've done it. And then I look back and I go, I'm sorry, Lord. I was stupid. Trust God to lead you and guide you. It's not always a matter of understanding, but that's the thing about faith is you don't understand it. If you see it, then it's not faith. And we're called to live by faith, not by sight. The carnal mind walks by sight, not by faith. It says, I see this, therefore I know it's true. The Spirit says, I believe God. I believe God is true. Even though I don't see it, I believe it. It's like when you talk about healing. Do you, I believe in healing even though I don't see it? Yes. Yes, I do. Because God is true. So we have the things that we think on carnally. What's a spirit mind? Do we put our mind on the things of the Spirit? John 6:34. For it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. If you want to walk by the Spirit, Jesus just said, my words are spirit. And if we walk according to His words, then we're walking by the Spirit. So whatever Jesus taught us is spirit. That's what He's saying. The things that I teach you, they are spirit. And if we walk by those, then we are walking by the spirit mind. We are walking by the Spirit, not after the flesh. Which is why He continually, throughout the Scriptures, taught us over and over again this and that and the other thing. And this is like, not only is it the words that Jesus gave us that show us what the Spirit is, but the Spirit Himself. John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide us into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Not only do we have the words that Jesus spoke, but the Spirit of God Himself resides with us. He resides in us to speak to us what is spirit, what is truth, to help us. Well, I don't know if I can walk by the Spirit. The Spirit is here to help us walk by the Spirit. He's here to guide us, to help us. He's the one that comes alongside and walks with you to show you the way. Go this way, go that way, do this, do that. This is what Jesus taught. This is what the Scriptures tell us. I'm like, oh, right. Like Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's spirit. You want to walk by the Spirit? Love your enemy. Love your enemy. Bless those that curse you. Somebody curses you, bless them. Your boss curses you, be a blessing. Go above and beyond. Be a blessing to the business. Be a blessing to those people. Do good to those who hate you. You got a neighbor who hates you and just really just doing everything in their power to be a pain? Do good. Do good. Go shovel their sidewalk. Well, but they'll yell at me. Yeah, well, come up with something else. Be a blessing. Do good. Do good. Don't do evil. I know, that's the carnal response. You slap me, I slap you. You punch me, I kick you down. You spit at me, you're going to lose a tooth. What, I'm good at this. That's carnal. He says, do good. You spit me on. How's your day going? It seems like you're having a hard day. How can I help you? Be a blessing. Do good to them. You need someone to help you carry that out? What? Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Well, that's hard. You know somebody is using you. They're being malicious. They're intentionally misusing you and consuming your time and effort for no good reason, but that they can. And make fun of you and because you're one of those weird Christian people. It says pray for them. You know, you really should pray for them. People who are being malicious towards you and are persecuting you because of your faith in Christ, because condemnation from heaven is coming against them. Judgment. Because God says that he will defend his own. And you should pray for them. You know, a good example of this is when Stephen was martyred. Stephen was being martyred. They were stoning him because he said that he saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, that he was calling Jesus God, and they were stoning him. And he said, Father, do not lay this against their charge. He was talking about them stoning him. He says, they're stoning me to death. God, forgive them of this. Don't let this even stand against them. Don't let it. I mean, if I was stoned, I'd be thinking, God, mark him for death. But he had a heart of Christ. He understood. He was walking by the Spirit. I pray to God that in those moments, I am walking by the Spirit so that I can walk according to it. And I can have that heart to say, Father, forgive them. Just like he did, just like Jesus did. Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. He prayed for them that they wouldn't suffer the consequences of what they were doing. Matthew 6:25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on it. For is not your life more than food and your body more than clothing? Jesus says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about the stuff. How often do we worry about the stuff? I do. That's carnal minded. Spirit mind says, you know what, God, you've got this taken care of. God, you've got it. You've got it. It says that Matthew 6. I got to go there because there's more in that section. Matthew 6, verse 25. It says, look at the birds, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? That's spirit-minded. That we are more important to God than the animals of the world, but yet God makes sure that they have what they need. How much more will God make sure that we have what we need? I mean, birds don't worry about it. They just go about and they're like, oh, look, there's some food. Oh, look, there's some more food. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? This is Jesus. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and is gone tomorrow, is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He says, look at the grass, look at the flowers, look at the beautiful things that God has created in this world. And God said, you're more valuable. Jesus said, you are more valuable to the Father than that stuff. And he wants to take care of you. Oh, you have little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? After these things, the carnally minded, seek. For your heavenly Father knows those things that you need. But seek first the kingdom. Seek first the spirit mind. Seek first the law of the spirit of life in Christ. And the right, God's righteousness. And these things shall be added to you. I want to comment on and his righteousness. We talk about seek first the kingdom. Okay, I'm seeking the kingdom. But do we seek God's righteousness? Do we seek to see that God is glorified and magnified in our life? Is his name exalted? Are we concerned about putting forward ourselves in such a way that he gets glory because of what we do? We have freedom in Christ Jesus, but are we honoring the Father's name? Are we honoring his righteousness? Do people look at us and say, they're a person of God? If we're spiritually minded, we should be. Because we will seek that his name is glorified. Because we don't want to dishonor our Father's name. We don't want our Father to be humiliated because of our foolishness, but honored because of our wisdom through him. But this is spirit. This is the spirit teaching us. Living like this is walking by the spirit. Matthew 7:15 and 16. More teachings, more walking by the spirit, right? Beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. But inwardly are they ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Well, it's not all fun and games. There's evil out there. And to be in the spirit is to know that there's evil out there, that there's people who want to misuse you and abuse you, who want to take the people of God and consume them. And it says that we need to know who they are. We'll know them by their fruits. We'll know them by their fruits. What do they produce? And when you're talking about ministers, what does their ministry produce in the hearts of people? Does it set them free or does it bring them into bondage? Does it lift them up in Christ or enslave them to the law? What does their ministry bring? That's how you'll know who they are. Does their ministry bring freedom into the hearts of people? Does it teach them the truths of God and cause them to be spiritually minded? Or does it cause them to be carnally minded and to strive after the things in this world? John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and life abundantly. Spiritually minded is to know that the devil intends evil towards you and that God intends good. God is not putting sickness and disease on you to teach you something. God is not putting you through hardship and calamity so that you'll grow in the spirit. There are difficulties. Life is difficult, period. Saved or unsaved. Life is tough. And we just live life. But we have a helper. They don't. We are changed in our hearts that we don't live according to the flesh, but we live according to the Spirit. And if we live according to the Spirit, we can overcome. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpent, as harmless as doves. We're supposed to be wise. We don't have to be simple. We can be wise. We don't have to be blissfully ignorant. It's not what the Word says. The Word says to be wise. But safe to be around. Harmless. Someone that nobody, people aren't afraid of you. They trust you. Because you're not going to misuse them or abuse them. Romans 8:31-33. What then shall we say to these things? Remember, by the Spirit. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? For it is God who justifies. If God justifies you, who can say that you're unworthy? Who can say that you're unworthy? God justifies you. Somebody can say, well, you're not good enough. It's not what the Spirit of God says. God says that you are justified. If God sent Jesus to die to set us free, the only reason he came is to set us free. He didn't have to. He could have left us. He could have left us to our own devices. He could have left us to the choices that we made. He could have let the world run its course, because ultimately humanity will destroy itself. Given enough time, it'll destroy itself. Because it's really good at that. He didn't have to do anything, but he chose to. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. That he was willing to give the most precious thing, his son, to die for us. And if he's done that, how much more will he freely give us everything? I know. I don't know about you, but I can feel it. My own mind rebels against the idea that God wants to give me all things. That's the carnal mind. And we need to have the mind of Christ, the mind of the Spirit, so that we can say, God has given me everything. And we can easily ask, God, I need this. And believe that when we ask, we receive it. Because we know that God has freely given us all things. You know that if we need something, all we got to do is ask our Father? He said he'll give it to us. Mama. Well, but I don't see it. Do you go by what you see? Are you carnally minded? Or are you spirit minded? And if we continue to walk in the mind of our flesh, then we won't see the manifestation of the sons of God. We won't see the fullness of what God intends in this world, because it won't happen unless we walk by the Spirit. And he wants us to walk that out. He wants us to live it out. He wants us to believe him that he will provide. And that he loves and that he cares. Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the mind of the Spirit. That there is nothing that can separate us from God. Well, I didn't do so good this week. I wasn't very righteous. I was very carnally minded this week. Then change your mind and walk by the Spirit and say, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God. There is nothing that can separate me from God. There is nothing that can separate me. It doesn't matter how he behaved. It doesn't matter what I've done. God, forgive me. And he is just to forgive us if we ask him. And he will forgive you just like that. God, forgive me. That was stupid. It's done. It's done. And nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. But if you think according to the flesh, then you don't believe it. And then you have condemnation. And you need to change your mind and say, no, I have the mind of Christ. I walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And because I walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, I am no longer under condemnation. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ supersedes the law of sin and death. And I am free in Christ Jesus because I believe that he is the Son of God who came to die to separate me from the sins of this world, separate me from my own sins, that I am no longer connected to them, that he could take them and I could be free. And that I could be restored to a right standing with God the Father. And that I could be accepted into his presence. And that I am accepted before him. We have a great reason to rejoice. All of these things should cause us to rejoice. And that God wants to provide for us, care for us, take care of us. That he wants to show us. That he wants to keep us safe. That he wants to cause us to know the love that he has towards us. We have such great reason to rejoice. Yes. That God loves us and that he has given his life through his Son that we might be free. We are free. We are free. Choose the mind of the Spirit, not the carnal mind, and be free in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you that you have set us free through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let your freedom reign in our hearts and in our minds. Help us to choose the mind of the Spirit, not the mind of the flesh. Holy Spirit, help us to continually know what the mind of the Spirit is in our situations and circumstances in life so that we can choose life. We can choose the Spirit and not the flesh so that we can walk in victory and we can walk in blessing, that we can walk in the fullness of life in Christ Jesus and be a blessing to those that are around us and to minister life in this world wherever we go. And we just thank you for that. And let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.